It is good to see all of you this morning. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord, and it's already been mentioned. What a privilege it is to be amongst brothers and sisters in Christ and to come together, to assemble together, to worship the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms. Psalm 77. I guess it's only natural that I've been thinking the last several days, what can you expect when the unexpected happens? Remember when Mitzi was pregnant with Holly, and I guess these books came out before then. I don't know when they first began to appear, but what to expect when you're expecting. And then after a while, it was what to expect from a one-year-old and two-year-old and so forth and so on. And there was a series of books, what to expect when a certain event or certain age or certain situation. And that's, I guess, kind of what I was been thinking about the last few days. What do you expect? What can you expect when the unexpected happens? Been some unexpected events take place this past week. Without going into all the details, it's not just a situation with my dad. There are a mixture of emotions, obviously. Many of you have endured some of the same kinds of situations, various unexpected events. You get the news about some loved one has passed away. You get the news yourself about the doctor's finding cancer. Perhaps you got the news that your spouse, your parent, had had a heart attack or a stroke. Perhaps you received the news that you were no longer employed. Perhaps any number of things, you fill in the blank. A mixture of emotions, shock and fear. Fear of the current situation and fear of the future. Distress that might turn to discouragement, might even turn to depression. Even in the midst of all of those emotions, there are some good things, because the least little bit of good news in the midst of affliction seems like the greatest news ever. And so it is a roller coaster when the unexpected happens. So many times that roller coaster is at the bottom, more so than it is at the top. Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Pause. Take note. Meditate. Have you ever cried unto the Lord? I hope you have. I don't hope or wish any of these afflictions or a trial or any of those kind of circumstances to come upon anyone, but we know that they will. We are assured that in this life we will face afflictions and sufferings of various kinds. Those are the times to cry unto God. Cry out unto Him in prayer, maybe even audibly, in the hospital room, or in your car going down the road, or in your closet, or in the midst of the congregation. Cry out unto Him. And cry out unto Him again, David says. We know He hears us. We can rest assured that God hears our cries. David said he sought the Lord, and in the night his affliction, his wound ran through him. It consumed him. It was all that he could think about. His soul refused to be comforted. Not that he wasn't looking for comfort. Isn't comfort a wonderful thing when we need it? We don't think much about comfort until we need it. As it is with so many of the Lord's blessings, we don't think about it really until we need it. God is described as the God of all comfort. And we're told that we can find comfort and patience and hope in His Word. David cries out unto Him in the midst of his affliction, as that affliction and suffering and pain is running throughout his body, consuming him. But yet, he hasn't found the comfort that he needs just yet. He's not been fully comforted. He knows that God hears him, and he knows that he can cry out unto the Lord, but he's not received the full measure of comfort that he is seeking. I remembered God and was troubled. That's not the reaction we want to experience when we remember God, is it? We don't want to be troubled when we remember God, except that when we remember God and when we cry out unto Him and we've not been fully comforted, when we've not received that full measure of comfort, it troubles us. We may even ask, God, where are you? I know you hear me, but you're not answering. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. It's okay to complain in the sense of pouring out our complaints unto God. Not in the sense that we complain to one another at times. We complain about a lot of things, don't we? Have you complained about the weather lately? I'm sure you have. It's either too hot, too cold, too wet, or too dry, and we're never satisfied with it. So we complain about it. We complain about the government. We complain about our families. We complain about our church. I don't know, you might complain about me. We complain a lot. We're never satisfied. And our human nature especially is never satisfied. Our human nature is never satisfied because our human nature tends to be lifted up in pride. And pride will never allow us to be satisfied. David says he's looked for the Lord, he sought Him in the night, and he's troubled. He's poured out his complaints, and his spirit is overwhelmed. Have you ever been there? Have you? Have you been overwhelmed by life? Things go along well, no complaints. The job is in order. Your finances, well, I don't know if your finances are hardly ever in order, it doesn't seem, but your family's doing well, church is doing well, life is going well. And then as somebody has said, life happens. Life actually happens. We're brought back to reality. Brother Seth, in the message he preached the last time he was in the pulpit, wonderful, wonderful message. Absolutely the truth. When things are going well, we don't think about spiritual things as much as we ought. We don't think about the Lord as often as we should. And then life happens. Life changes. The unexpected happens. Isn't it always the worst time? Of course it is. Because it's unexpected. You're not looking for it. It's always the worst time. I'll share just another personal note with you. At the end of last week, there was some serious movement taking place on the contract that I work on, and the company that I work for. And we knew it was coming sooner or later. It's been facing us for over a year. And some serious movement began to take place, and we could see that some major changes were about to take place. And So then Sunday night happens, last Sunday night, when my dad called me up at 1 o'clock in the morning. Tells me he's about to be transported to Fort Worth to a hospital because he's had a stroke. And I said, well, why are you on the phone then? And I was waiting to hear the helicopter in the background. You know, life changes. And then there begins to be serious decisions have to be made with upcoming job changes. And you wonder, do you take this job because you may not have this one a few months from now? Is it going to be financially adequate for where you've been accustomed to? Well, that'd be better than no job at all. And so some serious decisions were coming along over the course of the week. And after driving all night Monday night to get to Fort Worth, for a while, all that didn't seem to really matter. But now we begin to face the other part of reality, if you will. David said here, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Have you ever spent a night or two where it seems as though the affliction, the trial, the wound, the pain, it just roars. It just roars in your mind. No letting up. It won't go away. It's not just a little hum in the background. It's a loud roar that drowns everything else out. Verse 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. You ever gone through any sleepless nights? David is crying out to the Lord. He's praying unto the Lord, and he says, you're holding my eyes awake. I don't know what David was thinking about the trial he was facing at the time, the affliction that was upon him, what he thought about, where it came from, or who was responsible for it. But as he's crying out to the Lord, he says, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. May not be able to speak for the tears that take the place of your speech. You may not be able to speak because you don't know what to say. You may not be able to speak because you are so overwhelmed with that roller coaster mixture of emotions. And what you speak at the moment may be totally opposite the next moment. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. When we're troubled and when we're afflicted, when we are so overwhelmed, even to the point that we begin to wonder if God really is hearing me. When we're so troubled we cannot speak, we cannot sleep, we're so overwhelmed that everything else is drowned out. It's good to look back, to reflect, to consider the days of old, look back over the years, not just in your own life, but down through history, what we have recorded for us in Scripture, how that God has been with His people, has walked alongside with them, yes, at the top of that roller coaster and especially at the bottom. I call to remembrance my song in the night. You have spent a sleepless night or two. You have been overwhelmed. And God gave you a song in the night. A song of comfort. A song of peace. A song of joy. It's good to look back and reflect and remember what God has done for you in the past. It brightens your hope. It strengthens your faith. It reassures you that God is there. And it causes you to patiently wait for another song in the night. It causes you to realize just how dependent you are, how needful it is that we look to the Lord. How needy you are of His mercy and His grace. Amen. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. You're looking for that song of peace, that song of comfort. You look deep within your own heart, your own soul, and you begin to search. And even though the question comes to mind, will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? You've been overwhelmed, not just one night, but that roaring of the affliction, of the pain, of the suffering continues night after night after night. Has the Lord blessed me for the last time? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? You see, David was human just like you and I. David experienced the pain and suffering, afflictions and doubts and fears just like you and I. Have you ever felt so distressed that you would ask the question, is His mercy clean gone forever? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. Pause and meditate. And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my lot. This is what is laid upon me at the moment. This is my new reality. This is my changed life. You ever think about the changes that you experience in life? When change happens, what do you do? Do you unchange it? You don't. If it ever is, God might. This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember. I will look back, and I will see God's strong hand of deliverance. I know He's been there before. And if He will, He can deliver again. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. Can you look back and see God in your life? Can you look back and see the Lord working in your life, and then it suddenly hits you? You realize that one of the greatest times in your life that you can see the Lord at work has been in the midst of afflictions and suffering. Don't realize it at the present. We're not seeing it currently. In the current affliction, in the present suffering, I wish we could come up with a better adage than hindsight is 20/20. It's absolute truth to that, but I just wish we could come up with some other words to say it the same, say the same thing. Perhaps something like reflecting on God's mercies. That's always a much clearer view, isn't it? I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. You know what is even a greater benefit to each and every one of us? Greater even than reflecting and meditating and thinking upon, looking back. What's even greater than thinking about the Lord's mercies is talking about them. There's something about releasing all of those emotions to speak of the mercies of God, His tender mercies, His immeasurable grace, His never-failing love, and His, how do you describe comfort? His sustaining comfort. It's even better to talk of those things. It releases your own doubts and fears, and it's a blessing to those who hear you. Amen? I want to know, I want to hear about God's work in your life. Because He may have worked in your life in the very manner that I'm hoping and praying He'll work in my life. Maybe I'm next in line for His work. That gives me hope. That gives me comfort. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Interesting statement. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. It is in the sanctuary of God that we find the way, that we learn the way, that we are encouraged in the way, that we are strengthened to continue in the way. In the sanctuary of our God, in the midst of His people, in the assembly of the congregation. Let's think about how good God is. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11 tells us this. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. I enjoyed your singing so much this morning. They sang together by course, praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Our coming together to worship begins with singing. Singing together. Why do we do that? We sing praises unto God. We speak to one another. We encourage one another. We admonish and exhort one another. Above everything, we render praise unto our God. Ezra says, because He is good. We sing together, praising the Lord because He is good. That's reason enough to sing and praise, isn't it? Because He's good. Because God is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel, toward His people. His mercy endureth forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout. It's not a bad thing to shout. Some of you older ones can remember some days of old where folks weren't ashamed to shout. Now, if you shout just to be shouting, you ought to be embarrassed. But if you're shouting because the Spirit of God has so overwhelmed you, then amen. And the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. And on this particular occasion, it was because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They shouted because it had been many, many years, in fact, generations, since they were able to assemble in the house of the Lord. Because the house of God had been leveled, had been destroyed. God, by His mighty hand, was bringing them out of captivity, and bless the people to again lay the foundation of the house of God. And the people shouted. They were shouting for joy at the prospect to assemble together once more in God's house. God is good to have given us this place and given each and every one of us individually the privilege of being a part of the body that assembles together here. I'm not necessarily talking about whether your name is on the membership roll. I'm talking about you being gathered here together today, assembled as brothers and sisters in Christ, connected with such a spiritual bond that cannot be compared with any other bond, natural or otherwise, in this life. God is so good. David said this in Psalm 34. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. God is good because we can trust in Him. God has proven Himself o'er and o'er. I think we sing a song of that with that sentiment. He has proved Himself over and over that He is trustworthy. What a blessing that is. Men, women, sometimes are trustworthy A few are trustworthy many times and seemingly, perhaps, all the time. That's a blessing, to have people in our lives who are trustworthy. But even the most trustworthy among us is liable to let us down from time to time. Not intentionally, but just because we're human. We're frail, and we can't always do what we wanted to do or said we would do or intend to do. God's not that way. He is totally and completely trustworthy. Even in the midst of the night when that roaring will not cease, we can rest assured that He is hearing us, and because of the deliverance we can see in our past, we know He's trustworthy. We can trust Him to deliver us again. He's good. God is good. If we couldn't trust Him, He wouldn't be a very good God, would He? The little book of Nahum, little prophet over there, he said this, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." And the picture over there is the picture of those who would serve as a witness and an advocate for someone else, that would vouch for someone else. The Lord is a witness and an advocate for us because we belong to Him. And He has proven Himself to us over and over, and we can lay claim to being one of His, and He'll vouch for us. He is our advocate. He is trustworthy. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. Not just that He is aware of your existence. As we see so often, especially in the New Testament, when the Lord says, "I never knew you," or the Lord says, "I know you," or when it is said that a man has known his wife, you see, the Lord knows them that trust in Him. There's an intimate relationship that develops as we trust more and more in the Lord. In Psalm 86, we read this. Verse 5 says, "For Thou, Lord, art good." The Lord is good and ready to forgive. You know that redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ, that is the forgiveness of sins. And when Christ died on the cross, He bore the sins of all of His people, and they are forgiven. Amen? They're forgiven. But it is that experience of forgiveness that we long to feel. The Lord is good. The Lord is good because He's ready to forgive. And when we turn to Him in repentance, He's ready to bless us with that experience of forgiveness, that remission, that release, that relief from the bondage of guilt because of our sin. He's ready to forgive. "And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." Plenteous in mercy. I would have thought He'd have run out of mercy on me a long time ago. In fact, He probably would have used some of your mercy on me. But He's not run out yet. He's plenteous in mercy. It's everlasting. His mercy endureth forever. Psalms 25. The Lord is good. Amen. God is good. Psalm 25, verse 8 says, "Good and upright is the Lord." Good and upright is the Lord. We sometimes think about that expression to describe somebody like Job, for example. He was upright. Here the psalmist says that good and upright is the Lord. The Lord, He's good and upright. That means we can trust Him. God doesn't have some secret plan working behind the scenes. He's not a God that would try to trap us, trick us, or deceive us. He's upright. He is righteous. Completely, totally, perfectly righteous. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Part of His goodness is to teach sinners in the way. Teach them of the way, about the way. Here is the way. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Instead of condemnation and everlasting separation from Him that we deserve, He is good. Instead of condemning sinners to hell, instead of condemning me to hell, He teaches me of the better way. Psalm 106. What a blessing it is to speak of the goodness of the Lord. And I'm truly experiencing that this morning. I don't know if you are, and I'm sorry if you're not, but I am. Because I wondered a little while ago if I could speak a word. Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. God is good because His mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? You think you've praised Him enough? You hadn't even begun. You think you can praise God enough? When you think you have, you've barely gotten started. Who can show His marvelous works, His mighty acts? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, discernment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Well, we have a goal to strive for. I don't know about all times. I don't know about doing righteousness at all times, but we have a goal there, don't we? We have a challenge. What a blessed privilege it is. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. O visit me with Thy salvation. Lord, I've seen Your deliverance. I've seen the salvation. I've seen Your salvation in the lives of those around me. I've seen Your deliverance in the generations past. Lord, that's the salvation that I'm looking for. That's the deliverance I need. Visit me with Thy salvation, that I may see the good of Thy chosen. Lord, You've marked us out. You've put a hedge about us, but I don't always feel that. I don't always feel that hedge, that protection, that security, that safety. Lord, I see it in the lives of others. I can see it in my life in the past, but I need it now. Visit me with Thy salvation, that I may see the good of Thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of Thy nation, that I may glory with Thine inheritance. Isn't God good?